Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The primary purpose of government is to keep the peace, protect the citizens, provide opportunity. And when we start getting into all kinds of other things, I think we invite greater control. And I'm fundamentally about freedom.
That's Rick Warren of 40 Days of Purpose fame, megachurch pastor, commenting on what he thinks the purpose, the narrow purpose of government is. He was interviewed, among others, for a National Public Radio story, was Jesus for Small Government. It's a question I want you to answer and to comment on here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's the 16th of April. Now, I understand it's not tax day yet. I think tomorrow, because of the weekend, we have taxes upon us. And what this means is we are coming into that tangible contact with our government. It's when we are obligated to do what we as citizens really dislike doing most of all, and that is paying taxes to whom taxes are due and revenue to whom revenue is due. And we all grouse about it. But what about the more general question about our government? Well, if our government were smaller, wouldn't we pay less taxes? Well, maybe so. Some say, well, if you're a Christian, you have to be in favor of small government. Government is kind of opposed to God. I even read something on Facebook earlier today that said, "My God, not my government, will supply all my needs." Is it necessarily an either or, God or government? A lot of Christians, maybe even some of you, think so. Was Jesus for small government? We're going to listen to that story from National Public Radio, and then I want to hear from you. The question is, was Jesus for small government? If not, what does the Bible have to say about the size of government, the nature of government? And if the Bible has to say that, Christians are bound to believe it. As I mentioned before, we're coming to you live on this Monday afternoon. You can join us during audio open lines here on this Monday and then on into the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. We've already opened up a space at our Facebook fan page for you to answer that question and to comment on the NPR story about whether or not Jesus was for small or big government. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. A little bit later in this hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us from Witness Mercy Life Together. We'll talk about Paul's first missionary journey. That'll be in Acts 13 and 14, teaching a little Sunday school lesson with her. In the second hour of the program, we begin a 5-part weekly series on family vocation today, the confusion in the family and the vocation in this nourishing estate. Dr. Jean Edward Veith of Patrick Henry College will be our guest, along with his daughter, Deaconess Mary Murby. They have co-authored the book called Family Vocation, God's Calling in Marriage, Parenting, and Childhood. That starts a 5-part series in hour 2 of Issues Etc. So, we hear this a lot, all the time, but even more so nowadays, because, of course, we're about to make a big move in government. One way or the other, we'll either have a new president or a president in a new term in just months. So, in a presidential year, all sorts of issues are swirling around, but the kind of one of the dividing, the watershed issues in the United States seems to be, some say, whether or not government should be big or small, or bigger or smaller. Does the Bible have anything to say about that? Did Jesus chime in on the size or the nature of government? We're going to listen to this story from National Public Radio, and then I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Or visit our Facebook fan page and comment there, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Here's the story. Was Jesus for small government from National Public Radio?
When trying to solve a problem, many Christians ask themselves, what would Jesus do? Well, that question is now at the center of a fierce debate about the economy, with conservatives promoting a small government Jesus and liberals seeing Jesus as an advocate of more programs to help the poor. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
After the House passed its budget last month, liberal religious leaders said the Republican plan, which lowered taxes and cut services to the poor, was an affront to the gospel and especially Jesus' command to care for the poor. Not so, says Wisconsin Republican Paul Ryan, who chairs the House Budget Committee. He recently told Christian Broadcasting Network that it was his Catholic faith that helped shape the budget plan. In his view, the Catholic principle of subsidiarity suggests the government should have little role in helping the poor.
Through our civic organizations, through our churches, through our charities, through all of our different groups where we interact with people as a community, that's how we advance the common good.
The best thing that government can do, he said, is get out of the way.
I think that he's completely missing the boat and not understanding the real heart, the real core of Catholic social teaching.
Now, there are a lot of things that you're going to hear in this National Public Radio story, a lot of different viewpoints. The question I have for you is, should government be bigger or smaller? And is there a Bible passage to back that one up? When we hear someone say that Jesus would have been or would be for smaller government, not bigger government, is there any scripture behind that? What's your reaction? What's your comment? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, or send us an email right here in the studio with your thoughts on this. talkback@issuesetc.org. Was Jesus for smaller government?
That's Stephen Schneck, a political scientist at Catholic University. He says Catholicism sees everyone as part of a mystical body that serves one another. True, the New Testament does not specifically speak to the government's role.
But charities and individuals and churches can't do it all. When charities are already stretched to their limit, Catholic social teaching expects the state to step up and to fill that gap.
Peter Montgomery at People for the American Way says conservative evangelicals have been arguing for years that the Bible favors a free market system. But since Barack Obama was elected, he says, they've shifted into high gear.
They are finding biblical justification for opposition to progressive taxation, opposition to unions and collective bargaining, oppositions to the minimum wage, opposition even to social welfare spending and social security.
Because, in their view, he says, God intends the government to have a minimal role in society. You heard echoes of that from megachurch pastor Rick Warren, who was asked about the budget recently on ABC's This Week.
The primary purpose of government is to keep the peace, protect the citizens, provide opportunity. And when we start getting into all kinds of other things, I think we invite greater control. And I'm fundamentally about freedom.
That's Rick Warren. I don't think he's actually saying that. I don't think Rick Warren would say that the government has no role to play in social welfare or any of those things. But certainly heard by many as saying that government ought to have a minimalistic role in our lives generally, just to protect us and keep the peace. The rest is in the realm of freedom. Is that what the Bible teaches, that the government has a minimalistic? This is accepted as axiomatic by many Christians who consider themselves to be politically conservative, that if you're a Christian, you simply believe in minimalistic government, not bigger or even big government, but it's got to be the minimum government. But is there scriptural warrant for that assertion? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Here's the real question. Does the Bible's virtual silence on the role of government other than to keep the peace, Rick Warren is quite right there. Does its virtual silence on anything else the government's supposed to do, does it mean that that's all the government's supposed to do? And anything else is by definition government too big. 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Evangelicals cite the Book of Romans, which is one of the few places in the New Testament that refers to civil government. Then there's the conservative resistance to taxation, which some say violates the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal. Richard Land at the Southern Baptist Convention says, of course, Jesus paid his taxes and advised followers to do the same. But he says,
the Bible tells us that socialism and neo-socialism never worked. Confiscatory tax rates never work.
The Bible never mentions socialism, obviously, but Land says the whole of Scripture says that people are sinful and selfish, and therefore
people aren't going to work very hard and very productively unless they get to keep a substantial portion of that which they make for them and for their families.
For other religious conservatives, the Bible is a blueprint for a robust capitalism. Recently, on his radio program Wall Builders, David Barton and a guest discussed Jesus' parable of the vineyard owner. In it, the owner pays a worker he hires at the end of the day the same wage as he pays the one who begins work in the morning. Many theologians have long interpreted this as God's grace being available right up to the last minute, but Barton sees the parable as a bar to collective bargaining.
Where were unions in all this? The contract is between an employer and an employee.
Individual
it's not between
relationship.
A group. He went out and hired individually the guys he wanted to work.
All right, we'll hear the rest of the story from National Public Radio on the other side of the break. In the meantime, the break is a great time to give us a call, send us an email, or visit our Facebook fan page and register your comments, your thoughts on the question of whether or not the Bible is for smaller government, whether Jesus was for smaller government. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Well, David Barton of Wall Builders says that that parable about the man who hires workers all through the day and pays them all the same wage has little to do with God's grace. It's about Jesus being against collective bargaining. Individual contracts, no collective bargaining. And that's how he's reading the Bible. So he can find something against collective bargaining in the Bible. I've heard, and it was mentioned earlier in the story, Christians say that for the government to tax you is breaking of the commandment, you shall not steal. The government's stealing my money when it requires me to pay my taxes. Is that true? When we come back, your answer to the question, was Jesus for small government? 1-877-623-6943, facebook.com/issuesetc, or our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come on in and take your picture with my family in front of the White House. Check out the log cabin where I grew up. Let me know what you think of my campaign commercial. Look at Mary's fancy dress. She's mighty proud of it. Watch the Civil War like you've never seen it. Hunt for some of my treasures. And don't mind the ghosts. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Museum in Springfield, Illinois. A great place to hang your hat. Visit presidentlincoln.org. Illinois, mile after magnificent mile.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
the Bible tells us that socialism and neo-socialism never worked. Confiscatory tax rates never work.
Where were unions in all this? The contract is between an employer and an employee.
Individual
it's not between
relationship.
A group. He went out and hired individually the guys he wanted to work.
That's Richard Land and David Barton from their radio programs. David Barton saying that the parable about the man who hired workers all through the day and paid them the same wage, even those that worked 11 or 1 hour, is not so much about God's grace, but against collective bargaining, about individual contracts. Part of a greater argument being made that God, Jesus, the Bible, is against large government, is in favor of minimalistic or small government. What do you make of that? 1-877-623-6943. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon. It's the 16th of April. I'm Todd Wilkin. I want your answer to the question, was Jesus for small government? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Or our Facebook fan page, where we've left space for you to answer that question. Was Jesus for small government? Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Let's hear the rest of the story we were listening to before the break from National Public Radio. Was Jesus for small government?
Stephen Schneck at Catholic University says many Christians would not recognize this gospel, and he says there are more biblical verses about feeding the hungry and taking care of the least of these. Schneck agrees that the Bible encourages initiative and hard work, but he says theologians through the ages have said there must be a balance.
Pope after pope after pope argued that we're called to be more than market creatures. We're called, in fact, to always bear in mind the common good and our responsibilities to others.
We can probably expect both parties to claim Jesus as their favorite economist in the months to come. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
All right, what do you think? Was Jesus for smaller government? Is the scripture in general, does it advocate for a minimalistic government? We heard from Rick Warren in that piece from National Public Radio, said the basic responsibility of government is to keep the peace, and pretty much beyond that, they're just there to protect our freedoms, and our freedoms should be freely exercised, and that anything beyond that, now this is not Warren speaking, but I think the implication is anything beyond simply keeping the peace is too much government. You hear it not only from Warren, but from many others. Do you agree? Do you disagree? I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Listening in Vermont, Ellie says, I find it appalling, though not surprising, that each side claims Christ in this debate, as I find nothing in Scripture which would indicate our Lord instituted a particular economic theory. It seems clear to me that governing authorities and care for our neighbors, that said, she says, it seems clear to me that he tells us we should pay our taxes, submit to governing authorities, and care for our neighbors. That said, I remain unconvinced that Christian care for one's neighbor immediately translates into larger government programs, as they often allow us Christians, the church as a whole, to abdicate our responsibility to our neighbors in need. Ellie, thanks for listening in Vermont. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943. In Lexington, Virginia, Mark says, I think was Jesus for small government is the wrong question. The actual question in the left-hand reign of God in the USA is, how do we interpret the Constitution? I think that's clear. The Constitution is about small government, but more concisely, limited government. On that, the scene from Fiddler on the Roof comes to mind when after a Shabbos service, a synagogue member asks the rabbi, is there a proper blessing for the czar? Proper blessing for the czar? God bless the czar and keep him away from us, as in First Amendment rights. Well, is that what it is? Government is good as long as it stays as much out of your business. When you call the police, call 911, you want them to show up, but other than that, you don't want to hear from your government. Now, that may be a conservative view. Is it a Christian view of government? 1-877-623-6943. Rich says, for me, it makes absolutely no sense for Christians to embrace the social Darwinian economic philosophy of atheist Ayn Rand. I agree with you there. Like Republicans like Representative Ryan do. Instead, I would suggest that Christians would do well to spend time studying their Bibles to see what God has to say about individual societal commitments to the poor, immigrants, etc. Josh in Newport, Kentucky says, this is a problem with people on the both extremes, right and extreme left. He says they try to make Jesus a political figure when he's not. If he came to be a political figure, he would have been coronated as King of Israel with massive support. However, he came to die for our sins. Now, that's true. But the fact remains, Josh, that many Christians say that their view of government, big or small, their view of government, whether it should be taxing us or not, their view of government about how intrusive it may be in our lives is rooted in their Christian belief. Where? Regina in Rhode Island says Jesus was for honest government. Luke 3:10 through 14, the crowds asked him, what then shall we do? He answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Whoever has food is to do likewise. Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. Soldiers also came and asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. Now, I believe that's John the Baptist, if I'm not mistaken, there in Luke chapter 3. But there's no reason to see any light between what John the Baptist was saying there and what Jesus would have said. Jesus may well have said similar things. So, honest government? What about the size of government? That's the question for you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or visit our Facebook fan page and leave your comments there. Was Jesus for small government? Facebook.com/issuesetc. Eric listens in Pennsylvania. Eric says, to answer your question, yes, Jesus was for small government. His governing. Ever since we rejected his governance because we thought we could do better, we have been looking to hand that massive government we create off to someone else other than the only one who could handle the job, Almighty God. Well, we can wait for the coming kingdom for that to be the case. But in the meantime, can Christians say on the basis of Scripture, one way or the other, whether government should be big, small, or just the right size? I think everyone would agree that, except for those who believe in no government, which are generally, we used to call them anarchists. We don't anymore. Someone who believes that no government is any good. We kind of had that wake-up call where people in the Tea Party were saying absolute minimum government, down to just bare bones and practically nothing government. And then someone took it one step further. The Occupy Wall Street movement took it one step further and said, we got a better idea. No government. Period. I heard an interview with someone from Occupy Wall Street. They said, if anyone in this movement votes, they're immediately out of the club because voting is considered to be kind of treasonous against their views of no government. I mean, if small government's good, isn't smaller government better? We're kind of looking for the Goldilocks zone on government, but does the Bible have anything to say about it whatsoever? 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org. Because the Bible says that government has among its duties to punish the wicked and to reward the good, and that the government does not bear the sword in vain, does that mean that's all the government is given by God to do, period? Nothing else and anything else is extravagance or too much government. You know, Christians will find themselves disagreeing on the role of government, on what the government should be doing, and let's be honest, whatever the government does, we have to pay for. Nobody rides for free. So whatever the government takes upon itself to do, we the citizens in our system of government get to pay for it one way or the other. And this is really the source of this debate, isn't it? Do we want to pay for it? And I wonder sometimes whether or not Christians are driven more by their economic concerns, their economic bottom line, I don't want to pay for it, than by the real question of what the government is doing with that money. Let's say we had the most efficient welfare system in all of the world, where every person who was unable to work was cared for sufficiently by our government. And it worked beautifully, and there was no waste whatsoever. I know that's a pipe dream, but let's just say we had that. And let's say that that no-waste policy extended to the entire government. Our government wasted no money, but they taxed us all at 50%. That would be the cost of good, efficient government. Let's say that our government did not fund things we didn't want funded, but they still made us pay for it. Is it? Just stop and ask yourself this question. When you're paying your taxes, when you go to the polling place, are your real concerns about your neighbor when you vote or about yourself? Be honest. Are your real opinions about how big government should be really based upon how much it's costing you and not what it may be benefiting your neighbor? Think about that. By the way, David Barton has that parable completely wrong. Isn't it ironic that it's the reporter from National Public Radio who has to point out that the parable about the man hiring all of the workers throughout the day and paying them all the same wage really is about God's free grace to all, regardless of when they come? And this man, David Barton, who is considered by many Christians an authority in theology and government together, gets it completely wrong. We have to get our correct interpretation of the parable from National Public Radio. When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Witness Mercy Life Together, Paul's first missionary journey. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Jonathan Collin from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It's very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. IssuesETC.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a recording of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Pentecost Sunday, May 27th, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons. Now, when you make your gift, please indicate whether you want a downloadable version or a CD of these sermons. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us during the Easter season.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
China has the highest rate of suicide of women in the world. It's 3 times higher than for Chinese males. In almost every other country, the rate of male suicide is higher. It's estimated 500 women commit suicide every day in China. What's the one thing that's different there? The forced abortion one-child policy. Imagine women who desperately want to keep their unborn daughters but are forcibly aborted. Imagine growing up in a society where a woman's parents wish she were a boy because males are valued more. When you think about it, we shouldn't be surprised the rate of suicide of women is so high. They face hopelessness and believe death is the only way out. It's time President Obama stopped funding these organizations that support forced abortion in China.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.